side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is having our annual book and record sale on November 23rd, 2019 to raise funds with support from the Willamette Week Give Guide. The sale will be located at Lagunitas Portland Community Room at 237 Northeast Broadway from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. From classic books to coffee table books to cookbooks, treasures will be waiting for your discovery and just in time for the holidays. Enjoy community music, activities, and a live broadcast from KBOO at the event. Proceeds from the sales will support the station's operations. Right now, KBOO is accepting used books and records in good condition. Now through Friday, November 15th, listeners, members, and supporters can drop off donations during business hours at the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. After-hours appointments can be made available. For more information, please call 503-231-8032 or go online to kboo.fm.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming right up, Veterans Voice.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in a crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Will you give all you can give so that a banner may advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take your chance? The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland and Vancouver, 104.3 FM in the Willamette Valley, and 91.9 FM in the Columbia River Gorge, or on the World Wide Web at kboo.fm. And you can hear our older shows if you'd like to. They're on kboo.fm/veteransvoice. I'm Marvin, and Tammy's engineering. And we're going to talk about a few different things today. But Elijah Cummings passed away at 68. He was just a very, very interesting man. And he was part of Dr. King's entourage, and he was really young when he was with, helping Dr. King. He was, I think, 18 or 19 years old at the time. And he came up the hard way, you know, in Baltimore. He came up in the projects and worked hard and went to college and went to law school. He became a lawyer, and he's done a lot of good work, you know. Anybody that Donald Trump doesn't like is doing something right, so he's just a wonderful man, and it's going to be missed. He's going to be missed, and, you know, just, you know, there's people coming up behind him, and he's led the way for people to become a part of the movement within the United States and the resistance in this country. So he'll be missed. And also, the other day, over by Cider Riot, the young man was ran over and killed, Sean Killeher, a good activist, a young man. He was young, 22, 23 years old, and he was ran over and killed. And I remember him being at rallies and speaking out and being just a good revolutionary, and he his life was cut short, but he'll be remembered, and such a good kid, and it's just sad that he was, you know, killed at such a young age. He was murdered. You know, they don't know who did it. But they have the SUV that was being driven. Unless it was stolen SUV, they have to know who owned it, you know? And so we'll find out. I hope they catch whoever did it, took the life of that young man. He probably got a lot of people to join the movement, because I've heard him speak, and he did really, really well, and that's really good. I was reading, I read a lot, and more millennials consider themselves to be socialist and not capitalist, and that's really interesting, and to see that coming up in this country, where people are starting to really question this capitalist system, where just all the money is flowing up and instead of down, where the military budget is just out of control, taken away from important projects. Trump, he took money out of different projects to build his stinking wall, and it doesn't look like it's doing very good, is not you know, hanging in there very well, but they take money from other things. They took, if I remember right, they took money out of housing on military bases for enlisted personnel housing. They took money out of that to build this wall, you know, a wall that they said that nobody will be able to get over. But I was watching these young children down on the border, where they were going right up that thing and nothing flat. So there's walls are just useless. I don't want my country, our country, to be known as a country with a wall, you know, to keep people out when that just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, people are saying, well, these people come in and. You know, those are Republican talking points. Republican talking points. And we just don't need that. We don't need these talking points. They just, you know, they make us all sound like, you know, like we're the bad people and the Republicans are the good people, which isn't true. You know, we're the good people and they're the not so good people, I guess. I want to say hi to my nephew Travis down in Yahats. Travis came up and helped me do some work around my house, and I really appreciate it. He he cleaned the gutters out for me, and we put down a wood floor in my bathroom. So Travis did really good. Travis is really a great guy. He during the first Gulf War, the war, you know, this never ended. It's been going on for 18 years. He got arrested at one of the protests, and he was taken arrested and taken to Huey Long. What is the name of that? The children's detention center, something. And he was taken out there, and we couldn't find him. We looked all over for him, and he was arrested. That's my brother Dickie's son. And then Dickie's daughter, Vanessa, she was arrested at a rally, too. So that family, that part of the family is really doing really well. So that's really good. I was reading also something really interesting, and that the United States is sending more troops to Europe than they have in the last 25 years. They're sending more and more troops into Europe than they have in the last 25 years. And I don't know what that's all about. I've been trying to find out why they would be sending that many troops to Europe, because Europe's pretty quiet right now. You know, it's not like Syria or Afghanistan or Iraq. Did you know that now that there are men, young men and young women in the army that are serving in Iraq that are 18 years old? They were born the year that war started. 18 years old, and their whole life is, this country's been at war. Their whole life. I remember my mother one time, we were talking about war and stuff, and she says, you know, my whole life, she said, her whole life has always been war. She says, this country's always been at war, her whole life. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Dominican Republic. A lot of people don't know that the United States in 1965 sent troops to the Dominican Republic. What had happened, there had been an election, and a leftist was elected, and he was really doing good for the country. He was getting programs up and running. He was overthrown by America, and then the other guy that took over, he was overthrown by the leftists. And when that happened, the U.S. sent the troops in. They sent troops in. I can't remember how many, but they sent a lot of troops into Dominican Republic. And there were quite a few Americans killed, but I'm not sure how many were killed. But this was at the same time that troops were having their first big battle in Vietnam. The Battle of the Idrang Valley was going on about the same time that the fighting in the Dominican Republic was going on. And so this whole system, you know, is built on controlling countries through war by using the military. The military is supposed to be for our protection, not for protection of dictators. It's not supposed to be used to protect oil wells and mines and different things. But that's what it's been used for. You know, somebody was talking about the other day, was saying that when was the last time that the military was really used for protection, and we were sitting around talking. It was veterans. It was both female and male veterans who were talking, and they came up and they said, well, probably World War II. And then someone said, well, then how come Japan attacked us at Pearl Harbor, but we went and fought not only the Japanese, but we were fighting the Germans at the same time. And they were saying, why didn't we go in and fight the Japanese first and then go fight the Nazis? And, you know, we had a really long talk about it, and these folks are really getting it. You know, they're really getting it. They're really starting to understand. They're really questioning about this government and what this government's doing and how it's using the military, because all these folks served in the Gulf. You know, they were either in Afghanistan, they were either in Iraq or in Syria. So they're really questioning it. And not one of those veterans supported what they were doing. They didn't support it. They feel that they were being used. A lot of them are having trouble getting health care up at the VA, at Veterans Hospital. They're having trouble getting disability compensation. So they're really questioning what's going on and why this keeps happening over and over and over. And so it's good that they're thinking about that, and they're starting to question the system. You know, like I told you last time we were talking, that 6 out of 10 believe that Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria wasn't worth it. That wasn't worth it, and now. I said, well, now you know how we felt coming back from Vietnam, you know, and we understand that, and so they were really questioning it. And one of the guys, came up, and we were talking, and he said, you know, we have U.S. Army Africa, U.S. Army Africa, that we have troops in Africa. And he's going to study on it, and he's going to read up about it and everything. Then he's going to, you know, let us know what's going on there. You know, we had some folks killed not that long ago down in Africa that were killed. So that's something, you know, that is going on. We wonder where that huge military budget is going. You know, it's not to take care of these people on the military bases, because they're taking that money away and putting it in a wall. In a wall. I can't imagine how these active duty troops are dealing with this. I should find out. I should find somebody that's, you know, knows somebody in the military, active duty, and talk to them and see what they feel that's going on in with the morale within the military. One of the women was saying that her friend's brother had been sent to the Iraq three times. That young man was sent to Iraq. He'd been sent once to Afghanistan, and he was killed in Iraq. He did 4 deployments to the Middle East. 4 deployments. The military is that short on people that they have to keep sending these same troops over and again and again and again to where they've started their stupid, filthy wars, and for no reason. So she was really upset, and she said that her friend's mother was really having a hard time, you know, and talking about when her son had joined the military, and he joined because he couldn't find a job. That's why he joined. This kid couldn't find a job, and so he joined the military. And, you know, the military killed him. The military killed him. Sent him back over there 4 different times. You know, I have so much empathy for these folks. I feel so sorry for them. And I try to help them. And they're so wounded. These folks are wounded. They're just, having a hard time. The suicide rate. I'm going to read you something in a little bit about the suicide rate that's going on right now. And it's really interesting. You know, it's sad, but it's interesting about who has a high suicide rate. And how they're killing themselves. So I'll be talking about that soon. Angie sent me some stuff about suicides and different things. She's still really, hanging in there and doing great. I wish she would come back down here and be with us again. I miss her. But she's doing okay. She's doing okay. She'll be fine. But it would be nice to have her sitting here, wouldn't it, Tammy? It would be nice having her sitting right over here with us and talking about things that are going on. My friend Chuck Searcy, I met Chuck in 1994. Chuck's a Vietnam vet. I met him in Vietnam. He was working for Vietnam Veterans, I think it's association, Vietnam VVA, but he was over there and they were working on demining. I've talked about it before, demining and different, demining is one of the big things, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to have to go in Afghanistan. My gosh, how many of these bombs didn't explode in Afghanistan and Iraq and now Syria. But Chuck had started working on that back in, 94. I think Chuck got there in 94 and he started working with them. But it was really interesting. At the same time that we met Chuck, we met Trees for Peace from Seattle. They're from Seattle. And Trees for Peace, what they will do, after an area has been cleaned of landmines and such, they'll go in and they'll plant trees, which is a pretty good thing, And so I talked to some of those folks that was doing the tree, playing the trees, and it's really good. It's really a good thing to do. I think it was last Saturday I was down to Terry Shrunk Plaza. There was a rally to impeach Trump, and also to have that ambassador to the EU that owns the hotels in Portland. He got subpoenaed to talk, and we marched up to in front of one of his hotels, but I don't know what he did. If he, it's behind closed doors, so I don't know if he told the truth. Some of those folks are coming out and say that that Trump did talk to the president of Ukraine and said you're not getting any of this money unless you do Biden and his son Hunter Biden, and so that's quid pro quo. That's against the law. You can't do that. And they're saying that he did it. So that's kind of interesting. But when I was sitting down there at Terry Shrunk, I was looking around, And there, most of the people down there had gray hair, you know. You know, I was talking to this guy that was sitting next to me and his wife, and they had noticed it too. He said, "Oh, wow, there's a lot of grays here, and you know, we need more young people." And then we were talking about the climate march, and how all these young kids, boy, they know what's going on, and they're standing up, and they're talking about what's going on. And so I got a whistle, you know, last Saturday, and I got it at home now, and it was really pretty good. We walked up and around the hotel a couple of times, and we split up, and part of us came back down to Terry Strunk, and the other group went back around the hotel, and then they came back. And when we got back, the unpresidential brass band was playing. They were amazing. It was really amazing. They played some really good songs, and they were, you know, entertaining us before we left, and then they were playing some more when we got back. They're really good, really interesting, and they played great songs and everything. But when we got back, we were sitting down and waiting for the rest of the group to show up, and they showed up, and this young guy came through, and he was saying, I like Trump, you know, he's a good guy, and they had these folks that ran interference, you know, and so this guy started really going at these other, I think there was three young men there, and they came and they got him to leave, the guy to leave, and they were really well organized. I think they're called On Every Corner. Every Corner, they're a group that every corner that they, you know, people go on corner and then talk, you know, talk about the war and impeach Trump and all this. It looks like he may get impeached or he may resign. Hopefully, you know, but then we would have Pence and we'd have to get rid of Pence. But that's possible. But when it was over, I always wear my Vietnam veteran hat when I'd go to rallies and stuff. And as I was coming out of Tyree Shrunk, a young guy with a shaved head came up to me and he said, "You're a Vietnam vet." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you like Trump?" And I said, "No, I don't like Trump." And he says, "Why not?" And so as we were walking, you know, I was talking to him. I told him about how Trump's a coward, you know, when they sent all of us to fight. We didn't want to go to Vietnam, but we went. You know, now I wouldn't go, but back then we didn't know And I told him, you know, that Trump was a coward and that he lied and he got a deferment and that now he's sending other people to die. And the guy thought about that, and he said he'd never thought about that. And then he started talking about all the good things Trump has done. And when I was saying, well, that's not true, you know, that this isn't good what he's done. And so we walked for about five blocks and talked about stuff. And he had to go, you know, he had to leave, and I said, you know, do some reading and think about what's going on. Don't look at the surface of about what these folks are saying, you know. Study what's going on behind the scenes. You know what they're doing with all with our troops. What they're doing with all this money. You know, and he brought up about Hunter Biden, and then I brought up about Trump's kids earning a lot more money than Hunter Biden got, and he didn't have a comeback for that one. He pretty much had to go for that one, and so he when he left, it was pretty interesting. And then I walked through another protest about folks, the Apple store downtown. There's a big Apple store, and there was folks there that were showing films about they were vegans, and they, you know, were showing how horrible that these chicken farms and all this was. And I stopped and talked to them for a while because I haven't eaten meat in 30 years. And then he said, "Well, you should be a vegan then." And I said, "Well, I like cheese, you know." And he says, "Well, here, take this, and there's some really good recipes in here for you, you know, that you don't have to have cheese and stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, instead of cheese and like that." He was really nice guy, and that was that part. Tammy, why don't we go ahead and play that second song? This is a good song too. You'll enjoy it.
Pistol to his head. He wants no servant under him and no boss overhead. So left to three, so left to three, to the work that we must do. March on in the workers' united front, for you are a worker too. And just because he's a worker, his job is all his own. The liberation of the working class is the job for the worker alone. So left to three, so left to three, to the work that we must do. March on in the workers' united front, for you are a worker too. For you are a worker too.
That's a really good song, which is true that we all are going to have to get united and put up a good resistance to what's going on now. It's really interesting that a whole bunch of these people are resigning out of the Trump regime, and that's pretty interesting that they're bailing pretty fast. And Giuliani, he's already had four of the people who's worked for him on Ukraine stuff. Four of them have been arrested. So that's, you know, it's just a rat's nest. That they're doing, you know, that's just a rat's nest. They're all making money off of the people of this country, the working class of this country. You know, I remember, I don't know if some of you folks remember, but when I was in school, we had to take civics, and they don't teach civics in school anymore, and I think they should, because it's really good. It teaches you, you know, what's supposed to be done and how things have got so messed up now that the whole mess in making money off the government instead of helping the people, they're making money off of the people, and that's just shouldn't be done. Somebody called in and suggested I should look at The Wall by Steppenwolf. The Wall by Steppenwolf. I'm going to look that one up. Plus, this morning I was turned on to Kate Long. Kate Long does a song. It's called McNamara's Tears. And you folks remember who McNamara was, right? He was the Secretary of Defense and was one of the architects of the war in Vietnam. And he kept asking for him and General Westmoreland kept asking for more and more troops to be sent to Vietnam. And in his memoirs of, I guess you could call it, you know, his middle name, Robert McNamara's middle name was Strange. It was Strange. That's his middle name, Strange. Robert Strange McNamara. That really fits it, you know. But he wrote it, you know, that he knew the war couldn't be won. He knew the war couldn't be won. And he kept sending more and more troops to Vietnam. If that's not a war crime, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. 58,000 dead Americans and 2 million dead Vietnamese and Southeast Asians. He knew. He admitted it that the war couldn't be won. Why didn't he say that when he was Secretary of Defense? That's like a lot of these folks. They'll be in the military and they won't believe in Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever, but they won't say anything till they retire, till they get out. And then they'll say something. You know, while they're in, they're not going to say anything because, you know, they want to get more rank or they want to make more money or whatever. So they won't say anything until they get out. And then they'll say, well, you know, I knew there wasn't weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Then why didn't you say something? Why didn't you say something so all these people wouldn't get killed? All these Iraqis and now the Kurds. Trump pulled American troops out of northern Syria, and the Turkey came right in and started fighting and pushing the Kurds back and back and back. So, you know, I'm stuttering because I'm angry. I'm angry that this is happening. And they were talking to some special forces guys that were with the Kurds, and they're really angry. They're angry. You know, they know that they were used, that their friends were killed, and more of them's going to get killed. Trump had his chance to go to war, but he didn't go. But now he sends other folks to go and die, but he didn't go. You know, he did a show on Howard Stern's show, and he said his Vietnam, he fought, so he never went. But he says his Vietnam was fighting so he didn't get a venereal disease, you know. And that's what his Vietnam was. That's a slap in the face. That's a slap in the face of everybody. You know, I didn't support the war, and I wish I'd have never have stepped foot in that country. But for him to say something like that, you know, that's like that's treating women. You know, the guy is just a misogynist. He's just horrible, treating women like that. You know, the things he says about women. How in the world could a woman vote for him? I don't understand it. Why a woman would vote for him. even these farmers that really voted for him during when this guy was running for, you know, for the White House, now they're saying they would never vote for him again. Never. You know, that embargo is just killing them. You know, it's killing them. They just, farmers are just not doing well because of China was one of the biggest buyers of American farmers' goods. And they're having a lot of trouble. And they're saying they wouldn't vote for this guy again. And all these mine workers, he's not opening mines back up. More and more are closing. And they're saying they would never vote for this guy again. And I really don't blame him. I really don't blame him. The guy's a pathological liar. Nothing that he says is truthful at all. So he just, you know, makes me mad. If I was a drinking man, I would go to a bar after I get here, but I can't. I just can't drink. I did for years, and it just, you know, beat me up, and so I don't drink anymore. I don't want to lose everything I've got. But I'm gonna. This is something that Angie sent me. Angie's doing pretty good. She's you know, working hard. She's getting her medical and stuff from the VA, and she's getting counseling, and she's gonna be okay. It would be better if she was here with us, but she's doing okay. Millions of military veterans get their medical care through the Veterans Administration, or VA. You've probably heard over the years about systematic problems in the VA system that have caused scandals and led to calls for reforms. De Norfrio, Army veteran, worked as an administrator at the James E. Van Zandt VA Medical Center in Altoona, Pennsylvania. He told me he was shocked, I say shocked, to discover in 2013 a long list of vets with traumatic brain injury who were languishing on a list without a treatment plan. There were, I believe, 600 patients on that list. Out of that 600, as I drilled down, 6 had committed suicide. 1 veteran had gone and shot up a local subway, shooting 3 people. The vet who shot up the subway restaurant was named Nick Horner. I did a little research and learned that Horner was convicted of murder for the crime and was serving time in prison. But as De Norfio indicated, there was a lot more to Horner's story. After suffering injuries in multiple explosions during 3 tours of duty in Iraq and Kuwait, the 20-year-old Horner was discharged with TBI, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress disorder. His family says the Army had prescribed him no fewer than 11 drugs, and he reported suffering hallucinations, seizures, depression, anxiety, and flashbacks, which is all part of PTSD. And if you have a traumatic brain injury on top of that, this kid is really going through a hard time. Horner reportedly begged for an inpatient treatment at the Altoona VA Center, but was never admitted. Never admitted. The guy who wrote this says, "I was hoping to interview Horner on camera, but the prison where he was serving his life sentence would not allow it." His parents, Karen and Daniel, did do an interview with me. They told me that their son went on the shooting rampage not long after after a last desperate visit to the Altoona VA center. He was at the VA hospital crying to them, Nick Horner's father told me. He even told me, "I cried to them, Dad. I have got to be an inpatient. You've got to put me in. I'm having all kinds of problems, you know." And he listed them all down. He listed them all down for them. Everything you could imagine. And they told him to come back in a month. He says he blew the whistle on the wait list of TBI veterans, but instead of fixing the problem, he says leaders at the VA center launched a retaliatory campaign against him. A year later, when Dave Norfio checked, he says there were more veterans on the wait list and another had committed suicide. There are high-risk patients that have homicidal and suicidal behavior, self-destructive behavior, so they're supposed to be one-to-one closely monitored. The Altoona VA Center, Veterans Administration Center, denied my interview request and issued a written statement saying VA conducted an in-depth review of these allegations, which date back to the previous administration, and determined all of the most serious charges were not substantiated. The VA added that Inspector General determined VA adequately addressed the allegations and closed the case in 2016 and officially denied retaliation against this guy, DeNorfio. I've said his name like three different ways. Just because someone identifies as a whistleblower, they say, doesn't automatically give them credence to their claims. While I was investigating this report in August, Nick Horner reportedly committed suicide in prison by stabbing himself with a pen. He was 39 years old. Experts say that since 2001, as many as 750,000 U.S. military service members have suffered a traumatic brain injury, or TBI, from concussion blasts. That is such a sad story. Such a sad story. The VA... You know, I wonder if Trump tried to take money out of the VA system to build his wall. I hope someone's looking into that to see, you know, what's going on. And just to hear that, the pain, you know, the pain of the family of this man who finally ended up killing himself in prison, just that family, the trauma they went through, for their son. You know, when a war stops and the bullets aren't flying anymore, the war's not over. It's not over. You can, like these folks that I talk to all the time, they have, you know, they have dreams about the war. Some of the folks sleep 4 hours at a time and wake up, check their windows, check their doors, and then go back to bed 4 more hours. Women are, so the women that have a sexual trauma from the being in the military, they never go anywhere by themselves. They always go with somebody else. They will not be at a store by themselves. They will not be at a restaurant by themselves. A lot of them do not go to clubs. You know, they've been so traumatized by what happened to them in the military. And you know, that more men have been raped in the military than women. It's only because there's more men in the military. There's more men in the military, and that's the only reason why more men have been raped than women. But one rape of a man or a woman is one too many, and that has been a real problem. And the military, you know, they retaliate against the person who makes the complaint. It happened all the time. We had a man on our show who was raped in the military, and he said instead of going after the person who raped him, they gave him a hard time. Remember when he was on and he talked about that he was the one that they went after, not the person who did it to him. I remember during the Vietnam War, I was out. I only hung around other veterans for a long time, and the government made a comic book about. No, it wasn't the government made the comic book. It was an organization made the comic book about rape in the military and how the government wasn't, you know, doing their job and taking care of it. And it was really, really interesting cartoon comic book. And I wish I had kept it. And there was also another comic book that was made, and this was made by the government. And at the time, folks were trying to start American Servicemen's Union to unionize soldiers and Navy and Marines and airmen in the military, which went nowhere. and so the government put out a cartoon book, and it was like, you know, showing soldiers in their hammocks or. And the sergeant's coming up and say, "Come on, guys, we have to go fight this battle." And the soldier said, "No, I'm taking the day off." You know, it was such propaganda. It was just so much propaganda about that. Because the military, during the Vietnam War and right after the Vietnam War, the military was imploding. They were imploding. They were having trouble. People weren't enlisting. The draft had stopped. They were only drafting fewer and fewer people. So the military was really having a hard time. And at the same time that the government put out this book about unionizing the military, you know, the CIA came out with another comic book, and it was showing how, you know, that these people in Central America were horrible people and all of this. It was just, you know, more propaganda. And those, so if the government's after you, you're doing something right. I've always believed that, you know. if they're after you, you're doing something right. So you know. Department of Veterans Affairs released an alarming report Friday showing that at least 60,000 veterans died by suicide between 2008 and 2017, with little sign that the crisis is abating, despite suicide prevention being the VA's top priority. You know, that's kind of interesting, because I just went to get some medicine at the VA, and one of the, not medicine, to see my doctor because I'm itching, and the first thing the doctor asked me, he asked me if I was depressed, was I thinking of suicide? And, you know, so what are you going to do? If you say, yeah, I'm thinking of suicide, you know, they call the cops, they haul you off to the flight deck at the VA. You know, the flight deck's a mental ward. We call it the flight deck. And so that's what they would do. So nobody in their right mind is going to say, oh, yeah, I'm so depressed, you know, I'm thinking about killing myself. There's just no way they're going to do it. So But the department, little sign that the abating despite suicide prevention being the VA top priority. Although the total population of veterans declined by 18% during that span of years, more than 6,000 veterans died by suicide annually, according to the VA's 2019 National Veterans Suicide Prevention Annual Report. That's just sad. Sad. All these. How about the folks that don't go to the VA? How about the women who don't go to the VA? You know what the choice of way of committing suicide is for men? Guns. Guns. And it used to be with the women, it was drugs. But now, I think they were saying that 27% of the women who commit suicide are now using guns. And we can't keep these kids from going into the military. We have to work really hard to do that. We have to talk to these kids. You know, people, oh man, you know, I always say something if I see a recruiter. I always say something to them. And I also, if I see somebody in uniform, I always talk to them and ask them stuff. You know, I don't holler and scream at them and do things like that. But I do talk to them about it. And they will talk. They'll talk. You know, some of them spit out the party line and some of them don't. I've talked to families of active duty people. The families will talk about it. Especially if they did not want their child to go into the military, they will talk about it. They will definitely talk about how their child is came back from the war, and she or he aren't the same person. They're not happy. They don't laugh. They don't go anywhere. They stay at home. They drink a lot. They're taking drugs. The divorce rate is horrible in returning veterans from these wars. It's just horrible. Can you? I can't imagine. You know, that's like that song we've played on this show many a time. Sam Stone. You know, Sam Stone came home. You know, there's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. That's a pretty bad way to go. Well, I know this has been a downer of a show, but we have to talk about it. We have to talk about what war does. War makes a whole bunch of money for businesses, a lot of money. The government doesn't think of troops as individuals, as people. They think of them as a tool. The Army's a tool. The Navy's a tool. The Marine Corps is a tool. The Air Force is a tool. Now, I was going to tell you, now there are more National Guard people committing suicide than ever before. Ever before. We'll be back on November 15th at 9 a.m. And there it is.
Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore.
anymore.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor in Evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center in Portland. Ken Stringfellow, founding member of the Posies, performs songs from his 30-year career as a musician. This night features songs and stories from his work as a solo artist, as well as Neil Young, Big Star, Robin Hitchcock, and much more. Again, that's an evening with Ken Stringfellow on Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 9 at the Hollywood Senior Center, 1820 Northeast 40th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's so unguided with the hope that someone's reading.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Variety Show Benefit for Pueblo Unido, Saturday, October 19th, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Cruise Room Annex in Portland. Pueblo Unido defends immigrants against deportation, connecting clients to legal representation. The Variety Show fundraiser for Pueblo Unido features local artists showcasing a variety of talent, including live musical performances, stand-up comedy, and more. Again, that's the Variety Show Benefit for Pueblo Unido, Saturday, October 19th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Cruise Room Annex, 2338 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m., time for the Radio Zine, followed by Film at 11, which is at 10:30. Stay tuned.